Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you are going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plopsky, and let's make a fire with rocks and things every day. It's real simple, Olivia's song. So if you go through the passage, you'll say, Alaska, here I come. Joining us today are the usual wolf packs raised by wolves, including Kevin gripping it, Jaeger.
Always, always.
Kimberly, our Edge of the World game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Hello.
And with us today is a duo of talent. One is returning from things like SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical. The other, a first-timer you may know from things like Glory Days, Falsettos, and Tick, Tick, Boom, among a slew of other highlights. Let's give a big broad-waisted welcome to Friends of the Show.
Friends of the Show.
Friends of the Show.
Ethan Slater and Nick Lehman.
So good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah.
Running in,
welcome,
waving.
And welcome back.
So, Eden, I guess you're not good enough to just come on by yourself.
I guess not. Here's the thing. I need someone to bounce off of. I need someone to keep me in check. If I'm here by myself, I'm going to fly off the handle.
Yeah. You know, unpredictable.
Last time I was here with Lily Cooper.
Yes, mm-hmm. Who we'll probably talk about today.
I'm sure.
Let's not.
Okay, cool.
Let's not. Okay.
No. Right? Okay.
Thank you both for joining us here. We're going to talk about some awesome stuff today. But before we even get started, this is the first episode of season 2 of Broad Wasted.
Season 2.
We're back.
I can't believe it. Season 1 just happened so quickly over 5 years.
Kimberly, you failed on most season 2s. Like, the lead girl usually has like a really sharp bob or like some kind of really specific haircut change.
That's true. I'll work on it.
Okay, good.
Okay, great.
Within okay, this Mohawk? Episode,
yeah, can you...
Am I recast?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny if we had a different girl but like never acknowledged it and just kept...
Her name's still Kimberly. Kimberly.
Yeah.
Slightly different red hair.
Totally. Well, before we even get started with anything, what are you drinking?
What are we drinking?
Start with our guests. Ethan, what are you drinking?
Tonight I will be drinking Fat Tire, which is an amber ale by New Belgium. Fat Tire.
Ooh. Beautiful. What dulcet tones. Nick, what are you drinking?
I'm going to drink this sweet Tito's handmade vodka straight from this glass rather than the bottle.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Kevin?
I am drinking a Don David Reserve Malbec because that's rich. so I wanted to have some wine.
Great. Don David, cool. Good guy. I don't know. Note, I do not know if he's a good guy. Kimberly.
Well, speaking of good guys, I'm drinking some Hampton water.
Oh.
And as I was looking for things to say about wine on the back of this label, it's bottled by John Bon Jovi.
Oh, so, look at that.
Jersey girl, Jersey wine. Here we are.
Are you? You're almost done. You're about halfway there.
Great. Wow. Cool. I'm going to need you to leave.
I was going to say, does this rosé have notes of pear? Like, I was going to say, is it living on a pear? I don't know. I was trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I see. We'll work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is only episode 1 of season 2. We have a full season to get this right.
We are fresh.
We're fresh. I'm drinking, speaking of fresh, I'm drinking Mango White Claw, but the iced tea.
Good. That's new. What is it?
They now sell like their flavors, but like iced tea-ified.
Cool.
We
I'm going to say the most college thing ever. You could probably put vodka in that.
Yeah, totally. That would seem appropriate.
Oh, that sounds great. But, quite an assortment today.
Quite, yes. This is quite a menagerie of drinks. Thank you for joining us.
All these things, they would get very sick.
Yes. This is a disgusting Long Island iced tea. But let's get started. Let's just start with your concept album. It's coming out, or at the time of this recording, it will be out. Tell us about it. Just like, pretend we don't know anything about it. Pretend the first people listening don't. Like, tell us what it's about. Tell us how you got there. All those fun things that you've probably been asked before.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like it is probably the kind of thing that you might not know anything about, because it's a new show. Edge of the World is the story of a young boy and his father who moved to this isolated patch of land in rural Alaska, where the young boy is sort of raised and uses his imagination to cope with the loneliness of his surroundings. And we made this concept album during the pandemic. So it's a show that we've been working on for a little while, and we wanted to keep working on it, and everything sort of came to a halt, as everyone knows. And so Nick and I were talking about how to keep working on this show that I think means a lot to us. And we were able to put together this awesome group of people to make an album across space and time, and over Zoom like this. And so the album has Norbert Leo Butz and Lily Cooper, and Nick and I are on it, and we've got some incredible musicians, you know, Mike Dobson, who you might know from SpongeBob, Marco Padilla, Aaron Ankrum, who's in Minnesota. So all of these names are like Minneapolis, Brooklyn. We were in Vancouver and Los Angeles and Manhattan. It was just like a really talk about edge of the world. We were sort of spread all over this continent. Yeah, that was sort of a ramble A to Z kind of start, Nick.
I mean, to be fair, I asked you like 14 different questions with very different answers.
I just want to go back to, I think this means a lot to us.
yeah.
Which just really worries me. It frankly worries me.
I've been going over and trying to figure out whether it means a lot to us.
Yeah. If it doesn't, we can stop this right now. I think it means a lot to us too. I think one thing that was especially kind of tricky about this album was, and I think it's become an asset, but in the moment, there was a feeling for I think every show that suddenly you're sort of interfacing with the psychology of the pandemic, and you're like, is this something that anyone would want to listen to at mm-hmm. at a moment when so many are hurting so much and are so alone? And so a show about isolation, is that gonna be like almost too close to enjoy? And yeah. we sort of, you know, I think ultimately we're like, we need to do this whether or not. It's sort of like, I have a great buddy named Van Hughes, who is a mm-hmm. collaborator of mine as well. And he, early on in the pandemic, like May, I was really struggling with, you know, like whether or not to be creative. Like, do you engage with that without knowing where it's going to go? And he was like, what else is there?
like, if you're a creative person, this is the muscle that you exercise, right? It's just like the way it works. And so the minute he said that, I called Ethan and I was like, I think we have to do this. Like at least something. And then the album came, was like really like, just this gorgeous way of connecting with people rather than a Zoom reading, rather than, you know, sort of trying to plan a production that we didn't know, you know, mm-hmm. could ever necessarily happen it's like with the world changing under your feet, the thing that we could do was like record. And so suddenly this thing that was so separate has actually like, I mean, the goal, and Ethan mentioned Aaron Ankrum, who is our producer, is amazing. His job was really hard in that, like, it needed to sound like we were all in the same place. And like, could we, you know, and like, was that going to be like the ultimate failure? Was that like, we were going to get to the end of recording it all and you were going to feel like, oh, it sounds like seven different people in seven different places. But I think he did an amazing job of that. And everybody really reacted off of each other. So like, we, you know, someone would record one part and then you'd send it to somebody else and they'd be like, oh, can I actually change, now that I hear what Norbert's doing, can I change my piano part to sort of match that or make space for that? And so, yeah, so like it has a real give and take in it that is organic, that just happened, you know, at different spaces and different times. So it's been crazy.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Do you think that because you are working thematically with all the baggage that we all have from isolation and quarantine, and then placing that on a totally different story is what makes it more palatable? Because I feel like you see a lot of, right now, you're seeing a lot of people like, I'm going to write a play about two people in isolation during the pandemic. And like, that's all good and great, but like, there's something that's obviously very visceral in our reaction to that. Whereas like, if you're taking something else that deals with those themes, like how did you finesse that? Does that make sense? That was like a fake question.
No, great question.
It's a super good question. I feel like, you know, you face it all the time with all these different projects. And with this one, it was something that we'd been working on already. And Nick and I had that conversation in the beginning of pandemic where we were like, is this too exactly what's happening? You know, you're so totally removed. But I think the thing that we came to love about it is that it's not the story of being behind your computer screen and being isolated from the world, right? It's like, it's a different kind of isolation. It's a different kind of like agency in the isolation versus like who has the agency in isolating oneself. So like, I think what we found that was really beautiful about it in this moment was like the universality of these kinds of loneliness and the ways that we deal with it, even in situations that are so totally different. And I think one of the things that we've been really enamored with over the course of this process is how it's allowed us to feel in touch with nature when we're so constantly, you know, working through technology. And I think that in that way, I do think it's really helpful that this isn't the story of 2020 and 2021, you know, pandemic quarantine, but rather sort of another iteration on the theme.
I think in some ways it's the kind of the only way it can work. Like anything, any art. It's like, if you're talking directly about it, it is really hard to find the emotional metaphor. It's like too one-to-one, you know, I think that was really challenging with like all of the pandemic TV shows that like rushed out. Right. Yeah. It's like, why would I want to watch that? Like, I, no offense to the talented people who were working. Like, I'm glad they were working, but I'm living it, you know? And so to both of your points, like, it does feel like you need space for the metaphor in order for the audience to make that leap on their own and to not feel told how to feel. You know, it's like this thing, you know, that's the serendipity, right? Like, it wasn't written. There was no part of it that was written for the pandemic. We were writing it completely without the knowledge. So resonance, you know, I think that was our realization. Like, what felt like too close to home was actually resonance. And it was like, okay, sure. We gotta trust that and just let fly and, you know, right. trust the thing.
And I would say also, like, to that point, Nick, like, I feel like we had that process with other thematic elements of the show, not isolation and quarantine. That was like the happenstance of the year for this show. But we, like, in terms of like this sort of story of dealing with grief and the story of like of this relationship, we were trying to navigate that on the nose versus you know, sort of bringing it in together in the show already, which I think was a really fun process.
I mean, that's cool. Well, hard. I know it's a concept album, but I really look forward to the environmental production of it in Alaska.
Us at too. Some point.
I mean,
us
yeah, too. For real.
Let's
yeah, go. You can Let's couple it with go. The cruise, and then like you get off the cruise, you go on a hike, and then there's a theater
it's
there.
An excursion.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not a great
immersion,
idea.
But excursion theater.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excursion theater. It's new. It's new.
Yeah.
We're working on it here.
I don't want to see it. That's why I have to go spelunky to see it. Like that's the
thing. Yeah. I'm going. I look forward to seeing The Descent, the musical.
Oh shit.
Oh my God. I don't know what that means. It sounds scary. And all I can think now is someone should spelunk to a production of Floyd Collins. But
oh, good one.
Yes.
Kimberly preached. One thing I will say, the only show that I saw in 2020 was an outdoor show that Michael Arden did upstate New York that was a walking tour, essentially. Like you walked around this town and you went to different places in the town, like, and Van, actually, my buddy I mentioned earlier, made like in-ear guide tracks. So there was 16 different tracks and 16 different stories, but you'd go and like end up at a lake and someone would be dancing in the lake in a canoe at to the same time as the song that was in your ear holes.
Cool.
And it was so cool. And it actually does like open up this whole world of like, oh, right. Like, and like Danny Goldstein's doing Row at Williamstown right now with Grace McLean. That's like outside on a body of water. It's like, that's actually, there are things from this, we know it, we all know it. There are things from this pandemic that are opening our minds to like new ways because we had to adapt. So it's kind of not too far off as a good idea.
I feel like we're all working like college kids. Like, I feel like that's something you would see on a campus that that's not part of the main stage. And now we're like, whether you've been to college or not, like you're just like taking that like young ingenuity within yourself and like applying it to like, oh, this lake looks cool. Or like, I guess my backyard's big enough.
Yeah.
I guess my backyard's big enough. I was in a senior thesis production that we opened the back door to the theater and the audience had to follow us out. And we did the final number in front of a lake.
Yeah.
And so when you said that about the lake, I was like, wait, me,
is that
18.
Me?
Yeah. Manhattanville College, 2007.
On that note, we're gonna take a second and call this segment Kimberly Talks About Glory Days for a little bit. So Kimberly, go for it.
Wait, but before, because I just had, I don't know if you saw me immediately check out and text my mother a minute ago. I also have a segment called Kimberly's Confessions, in which I tell someone on our program about how I used to fangirl about them, Nick. This is going to be very strange, but I have two instances where you and I have been in the same room.
Really?
Yes, and one involves a picture, and I just texted my mom to see if she can find it because I was 16 years old and I don't know where it is.
Oh my God.
I believe, and maybe I'm freaking out, but I'm looking at your face. I'm like, this is true. Were you on the Altar Boys tour in Philadelphia?
I sure was.
Your girl was on stage.
We sang to you?
Yes. Absolutely. I was on the aisle of the Miriam Theater and was pulled up on stage. And is a photo from like whatever disposable camera or something.
Right.
In 2005.
Right. Holy shit. Kimberly.
Yeah, I like just we had a flashback and I was like, oh my God, this picture exists. Oh, I'm wearing what can only be described as business casual for a high schooler. Very embarrassing photo.
That's okay. I'm wearing cargo pants and a shirt with a hi in the middle of it. Hi, how are you?
Yes, absolutely. And then, yes, let's share my screen for a minute, shall we?
Please.
Does this look familiar to anyone?
Nope. Never seen it.
Hold on one second.
Wow.
I had my mom go through her Playbill binders and find me Glory Days.
Oh my God.
In which my mom is the best. She stapled my ticket to the back.
Oh my God.
And so Kimberly, you can see that on May 1st, 2008, I was in row A. And I paid a wee $55, and I would like everyone to realize that Broadway ticket pricing is insane.
Yes. I mean, honestly, that is even too high. But like, let's just put a moratorium on like that number being even possible in today's world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. For row A, which I think was like the third row, I think there were some AA situations happening.
There were.
In my mind, looking at this ticket, I'm realizing a falsehood that I've created. Because I always tell people, because it's a better story, that I finished my finals of my freshman year and then saw Glory Days with my best friends.
Mm. Wow.
Oh, which would have been a better story. But May 1st, I don't think that's true. So,
damn it.
But I did see the show with my best friends from college and then said I should bring my friends from high school back to this.
Really?
And then, of course, we did not, which is a shame.
It wasn't there.
I saw it with my high school friends at Signature Theater in D.C.
Yes!
In Shirlington, sorry.
Yes, excuse yourself.
Truly, my best friend Trent and I were obsessed with Glory Days for a good, like, 2 years. We watched all of the YouTube videos from the album concert. And I believe both purchased the album when it was available many years later.
Oh, that's incredible.
So, these children.
Children, and we also have a segment that we like to call Read Your Bio. Would you like to see what your bio said in 2008?
Oh my God. Are you going to read it?
You want to read it out loud? Up to you.
You read it. You can, yeah. You,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't believe this is happening. Not one bit. Since he's never written anything before, he'd like to use this space to thank the incredible people he is so lucky to have in his life. Mom, Dad, Dan, and the rest of my ridiculous family. Still true. My teachers, John, Jane, Liz, Mark, Brent, and Caroline. Go blue. His more than agents, Bill, Sadie, Russell, Jeannie, Emmy, and Michael. None of them are my agents anymore. The amazing support of Crybaby team, which is true. Although there's an amazing story about that. I almost got fired from Crybaby for going over to give notes at Glory Days. I called out sick. I was sort of a dick move. Profanity allowed. My wonderful friends and fellow collaborators in art who stick by me even when it seems stupid to. Shout out to Ethan, even though I didn't know him yet. Anyone else who's ever believed in us and this show, to Glory Days boys, game time, which is a word that like I can't say actually. I haven't like said since the show. The show is dedicated to my three best friends, Brian, Ryan, Zach, who I'm still super close with. We made it right here. Thank you. Wow, that's written by a young person.
Yeah, a young person who switches between first and third person quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's his first thing he'd ever written before. He does that.
Yeah.
This bio was the first thing he'd ever written.
He was like, my bio's pretty good. How about I write a musical?
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to stop this screen share unless my mother can find a picture of the two of us on stage in Philadelphia.
Yes.
And then because I was a Glory Days fan. And when I moved to New York, someone said, do you want to be an extra in Nick Blamire's music video tomorrow? And I said, I got nothing else to do.
What?
Yeah.
Which music video?
Complete? I don't remember. It was in Irving Plaza, maybe?
Webster Hall. Yeah.
And we were told to wear bright colors.
Yes. Complete.
Yes.
The music makes you complete.
Yes. Me and my best friend Emily were there that day.
I am blown away right now.
I have to say, watching this is a true joy.
I'm just brought back to like my youth, and I'm just like, wait a minute, oh wow, like tell 21-year-old Kimberly this is happening and she's freaking out.
I mean, tell 23-year-old Nick Blamire this is happening. Like I feel like one of the things, like you mentioned the album concert, and I was just thinking about this today because this business is impossible and like rejection is everywhere constantly, and like I got rejected on two things last week and had like an annoying meeting this morning. And I was just like in the place of like, you know, does any of this matter? Does it reach out at all? And I remember thinking that at the album concert, which we kind of did like for us, it was sort of, we had the show closed so fast that everybody sort of dispersed and it was like a reunion and everybody who'd ever done the show came back and hung out and sang. And it was like a really joyous night. But there was a feeling of like, you know, does anybody care that we're doing this, or are we like just like, you know,
scratching our own balls. But like, there is, you know, it's just really cool to know that that like you were there, because I feel like that's the part that's so hard to hold about making stuff, is like, you send it out and you, I mean, like, we've never really met until now, but like, we've been connected for a decade plus. It's so magical. That's really amazing.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know that like a bunch of freshmen in college are like staring down a YouTube rabbit hole of like everything you've ever done.
It's really like a reason to do things, you know, just like,
yeah,
just
absolutely. And Glory Days too. Like, we loved it. And I think because we had never seen like just a bunch of like 19-year-old kids straight out of college, like doing something. And we were like, oh, this is, we're in school for musical theater. And it just became this, like, this is an attainable goal. Like, this is now like,
awesome.
This is a thing we can do. And whether it lasted a day or not, like, it was,
look,
it changed worlds.
if that's what it can be, like, it, that would be the greatest legacy for it. I mean, it has been that, like, we're on our 50th production. It's opening in Japan in the fall. Like, I don't even know if I can go because of the 2-week quarantine that you have to have before it. But like, there is just something about, and I feel like it's probably the same with podcasts. And I know it's been the same with even with making music. It's like these things, we grew up on the cash recordings. That was totally a thing with Glory Days. It was like, you know, again, who's going to want this? Should we make it? But it was the best 2 days ever to make it. And now it's like the best decision ever to have made it, because it's mm-hmm. a calling card and there's something behind. And think mm-hmm. about all the shows that we, you know, like that you don't get the cash recording for, that like you can't quite hold on to in the same way. And it sucks. Like, I wish, you know, I'm trying to think of versions of that. There's a show called Found that I did at the Atlantic that is so amazing. But
yeah.
Like,
I saw it.
You did?
I kind of have been like, just like Kimberly, I didn't mean to, but like I stumbled upon following your career everywhere.
Oh, holy shit.
Because I saw Found, because when I first moved, I'm a writer as well. And so like when I first moved here, I was seeing everything, like new work I could, because sure. I wanted to see what was happening. And Found was amazing. You also saved my life 5 years ago, because it was a really dark night when I was like, I don't know how this awful election is going to go. I don't want to be part of this world right now. And I had 2 tickets to see Tick, Tick, Boom.
Oh, so my God.
Being a part of the world as all of that unfell on this 2016, I got to be in the theater where they were like, no offense to you, it was just because it was election night. They were like,
yeah,
people in the audience, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, like 60, yeah.
Empty, and so we just like moved to the front and like we're like right there and like seeing specifically Tick, Tick, Boom, which was just not like what art can do and if it matters and does one voice matter, and like to hear all of that happen on a night when I didn't want to be a part of the world, like that was so powerful.
And oh my God, man.
You're my plankton.
Ah!
My brother lives in Chicago, and when we found out SpongeBob was becoming a musical, he texted me and he was like, I just bought tickets, because like he knows, I mean, he loves musicals because I love them, but like he doesn't like go to see all the shows in Chicago, but like sure. when we were in high school, we used to party and our parents didn't know we went out partying and drinking, sorry, but like Sunday mornings we would all
now they know
we would fight our way through church, because my parents made us go to church on Sunday morning, but then we would both pass out on the couch watching SpongeBob on like cartoons. My mom would just be screaming, the show's so stupid. And like we would like fall asleep watching it. That was like our routine. So
you're wrong, mom.
When it became a musical.
So in Chicago, did you go to church first and then go to see SpongeBob?
We did not, but we told my mom, we were like, oh, we just came back from church. And she was like, no, you didn't, you assholes. But so you were my plankton, because I saw it in Chicago first.
Oh my God, you're gonna make me like, cry, you guys.
Like hit all of, so I also have hit all your careers. So we've been preparing for
this is your life.
So also on top of that, Ethan,
Ryan?
I put on brown pants and a yellow shirt and grab a spatula and run around the house all day during quarantine and pretend that I'm you.
What?
Yes.
Cool. That's a creepier thing to say than the things we said.
Yeah. Listen, I watch SpongeBob and I'm just like, Mr. Kenny, step aside. I know another gentleman who looks exactly like the way I'm dressed. And then I shower with my clothes on just to wash it away.
Right. That's, yeah. Well, that's how else I don't know what would that you means. Shower?
Yeah.
That's how great. You're supposed to.
I remember being in rehearsal with Ethan when we did the workshop like early on, and it was like you hadn't even said anything yet. We were still in the reading, like the reading around the table. You remember, on at whatever the Spider-Man theater, right? Was Spider-Man still there?
It was the Foxwoods at the time.
The Foxwoods, right? And we just like got along the beginning. I was like, oh, this dude's cool, but like, I don't envy him. Like, you're gonna do the SpongeBob voice. Like, you're gonna nail that dude. And like, first word out of his mouth, I was like, oh my god, like, this dude's a genius. So, like, really amazing memory, moment.
My memory of that moment, though, is that we're sitting around the table and Tina goes, okay, so like the thing about this is that it's not full character voice. It's somewhere in between you and your character. And it's like this middle ground. It's got to be exactly perfect. Like, Ethan, show them what it's like. Just say the first line. I was like, say the first line. She's like, just do it. And so I was like, good morning, world. And she goes, well, not like that, but you get the idea. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so hard.
It worked on me. I mean,
I'm so glad. Tina's the best. Whoa. That was a just a side
oh
note.
Oh, my God.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
You know what else works? Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner, where I get to talk about or do whatever I want in this part of the podcast because I'm awesome. So we are going to be doing, because you two are a new dynamic duo on the writings world, we're going to be doing a Kevin's Corner that's called Dynamic Duo. And this is how it's going to work. I'm going to give you I'll give you a dynamic duo when it's your turn. And you will have to remove one of those things and put something in its place that you like better.
Cool.
So we'll see how this goes. We'll see what happens, what you come up with. So we'll start with Nick. And Nick, I'm giving you peanut butter and jelly. So you can pick whichever one of those two you want to remove and then put something in its place.
I mean, goodbye, jelly. Like, you're a pleasure in, like, together, you're fantastic. But, like, peanut butter is a staple of my life and I care about. I think him very much. I think peanut butter is a him, maybe to me.
I mean, yes, so I'll go with you.
Yay. And then like, I feel like you could do, you know, what my wife does sometimes is hot honey, peanut butter and hot honey, which is really good. Right. And then like a banana, that's a dynamic trio, but like, I think jelly is while it's good and really good on like toast with butter, like that's a dynamic duo I love. I feel like peanut butter and hot honey is smooth.
I appreciate good. That. Ethan.
Yeah.
A burger and fries.
Such a good question. They both have a huge amount of value for me. I think, you know what I would do is I think I would actually take the fries and replace the fries in an ideal world where my stomach doesn't get mad at me with onion rings, beer battered onion rings. My problem is I will not stop. So if there's a plate of onion rings, I will eat them all and feel very terrible. But so that's the only drawback for me.
Like physically terrible.
Physically, I'll have to lie down. But I can deal with that. So burger.
Nothing wrong with that, bro.
Yeah, nothing wrong with taking a little nap.
Yeah,
you're right. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I got in my head about it. Burger and onion rings. Final answer.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Nick, sun and moon.
Sun. Definitely need the sun. In fact, like pandemic, beginning of the pandemic, I would like go outside and like just to get vitamin D. Moon, like scared of the dark, like, you know, like walking down the street late at night still gets me, even if it's like a totally safe situation. And I was thinking about this, like, I love sleep. I love having slept. I love sometimes even feeling like I know I'm sleeping while I'm doing it. But I don't like going to bed. I'm like, I have shit to do. Like, I want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. Damn it.
Brian doesn't understand, but we do.
What would you pair? What would you pair with son?
Daughter.
There, and I
breaking rules left and right.
And I'm here for it.
Wonderful.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Mario and Luigi.
Mario and Luigi.
For those of you like, who don't know, they are famous Nintendo characters. They're brothers. They're plumbers.
Heaven.
Yes. Can you use Mario and Luigi in a sentence, please? I think I'm going to have to go.
My toilet's broken. I should probably call Mario and Luigi.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
See, that's actually really changed what I was going to go with this. M-A-R. I'm going to keep Mario for the sake of, you know, I just think that, like, that's the core of it for me. Mm-hmm. And, oh, man. Oh. Hold on. What is his name?
Wario?
No, we got this.
Hey. Bowser.
Here's the thing. We're going to stall for time. Can you cut out me stalling for time?
No. No, we can't.
No. Absolutely not.
We'll depends how good.
So far, so bad.
Okay. Oh, wow.
This is like really embarrassing stuff.
Here's what it is. No, this is what it is. And I'm very glad that I figured it out because this is the answer I wanted to give. We're going to go. It's going to be Mario. We're going to keep Mario and we're going to place Luigi with Lopez. We've got Mario Lopez. He played AC Slater on Saved by the Bell. AC Slater was a big feature in my life. Everybody called
who
me
is
AC.
Lopez?
He was a,
who
he
is
was,
Lopez on its own?
That's actually such a good question. And we should get him on here to ask.
We should, but I will only give you Mario Lopez. I will only give it to you because he gave an expert performance as Colonel Sanders in the 15-minute Lifetime movie, like Season My Love.
Oh, yes, right.
My entire family, my parents, my sisters and their husbands, my brother and our nephews and nieces all sat down to watch it. It's a delight. So I'll give
you know
it
to what.
Him. Didn't he also? Wasn't he also the host of whatever that was, Miss Teen USA, whatever? When Miss South Carolina gave that like embarrassing answer, and he had to navigate that. Wasn't he the one holding the microphone?
Yeah. Ooh,
yes. I feel like he was.
Yes, he was.
I also saw him at If Then on Broadway. We sat next
to him.
He
was Zach and Chorus Line. He's, you know, yeah, he'll always be Albert Clifford Slater to me.
I was gonna say on a show Albert called Clifford. Broadwasted, I love that we skipped his actual Broadway role and mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the host of Extra?
Yes. All right, so we got one more round. We'll start with Nick. Nick, your dynamic duo is Starsky and Hutch.
Well, Starsky sounds more Jewish, so I think I'll keep him. Sounds like he's like works at a deli. Starsky's.
Starsky's, yeah.
Yeah.
Hutch down on Orchard Street.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to keep Starsky and add Barnes from Celino and Barnes.
Yeah,
and they'll start an injury attorneys. Starsky and Barnes injury attorneys.
Rest in peace.
That's true. Is he the one who died?
Yeah, I think I think Barnes was killed in the plane accident.
Plane crash.
Oh no!
So I guess now all the posters just say Celino, but apparently they broke up before that.
Yeah, that's what I read too.
Starsky's back on his own.
Wait, what is that yeah. movie coming out?
I don't know.
Right.
No, I want to see that movie.
Oh gosh. Sorry. No
touch. Ethan, the final one. Kate and Leo.
Would you say that? Say it again.
Kate and Leo.
Kate
Winslet and yes. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Oscar movies, including their Oscar-winning Reservation Road.
Mm-hmm. Untrue.
Revolutionary
Road.
And they
who's in charge here. I get
and,
it was a question on a trivia I did last night, so it's Revolutionary.
And they've also both only they've won both won for very different things.
Well,
totally.
I get to say what I want in this segment. Ethan, what you got for me? Why are the haters?
I feel like I'm going to have to keep Kate. Yeah, go, Brian. I love the stalling for time.
I'm glad that you mentioned that it was Kate Winslet and Leo DiCaprio, because I originally thought it was Kate Leopold, the Hugh Jackman film about elevators.
Me too. Yeah.
It's about elevators.
That was right before Brian killed her career by getting new lips.
No, Meg Ryan's career was destroyed because of Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe did ruin that.
Russell Crowe ruined her career. The misogyny, the misogyny of the media ruined her career.
Body of lies, right?
That sounds correct.
Body of lies.
I don't know what happened with Russell Crowe.
Proof of life.
Proof of life. Proof of life. That's it. Yeah.
But everybody vilified her because she was the harlot woman instead of vilifying the man.
Yeah, totally.
Media.
Her son is an excellent actor, though. Anyway.
Who's her son?
Her son is on The Boys. He's like
The Boys.
A guy gets sucked into the craziness of The Boys.
Oh, really?
That's her son.
Wait, no, that's Dennis Quaid's son.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's amazing. He's great.
Dennis Quaid had that kid on his own. Okay.
I'm so sorry. This is not tracking for me.
Okay. Clayton Leo, you're keeping.
I think I'm going to replace Leo with Jean Smart.
Yes,
they were so good together.
Wait, I'm only halfway through it. Don't ruin it for me.
Okay, oh, wow, Brian. Okay. The only thing I'll say to ruin it is they're gonna say her name 100,000 more times.
So you live in Philadelphia now. How have you not finished this show?
Because I go to Wawa. I hear these lines every day. Like, it's not a big deal.
And did you guys watch Murder Dirter on SNL?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Yes.
He made you do.
Yeah, so my mom, my parents are from Delaware County, and so I hear those accents a lot.
Whoa.
And this has been Kevin's Quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Should we play a quick game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. First episode of season two.
Woo, season two.
From our very lengthy season one, which is just called Plot Points, in which you are given two. For season two, I decided to change up the rules a little bit to
what?
Make it a bit more of a choose your own adventure. Usually you will get a song title and like a play or movie or musical title, and you have to sing the plot of that to the tune of the song. And then we all guess both of those things. Today, I just made lists of shows that are reopening in the fall and shows that opened in the 2007-2008 Broadway season. And so I'll just give you one of each when it's your turn, and you can sort of pick which song you want to do and which plot you want to do. Brian, as always, to demonstrate for the world, what would you like to go first?
Yep, I will.
Cool. Just give me like two random numbers between 1 and 10.
Sure. And I'm gonna go
chat.
Okay. Double sevens. Bow-wow.
Double sevens.
I was about to say, isn't that snake eyes? And I was like, no, because sevens don't look like eyes. So that wouldn't make sense.
I don't know.
They could.
Sevens are all right, Brian, best of
double
luck.
Sevens does feel lucky.
Right?
Yeah. It's in some ways, yeah. okay. Okay, here we go. This show takes place in the South of America. There is tons of laundry and coins and Jews abound. But again, it's in the South.
Parade?
No.
Carolina Change is the musical you're talking about,
right?
That's correct.
Some Enchanted Evening.
Yes, that is right.
Correct.
Some okay, Enchanted now, Carolina
they're,
Change.
They're not okay. See it
now. Some I get. Carolina yeah, Change. I was like parade.
Exactly.
Yep. American South parade.
Starsky, Jewish people American in the South. American South.
Yeah. Yeah. Jewish. Starsky and Hutch.
Perfect. Ethan, as a returning guest, would you like to go next?
Yes, I would.
Two numbers between 1 and 10.
I'm going to go with 2 and 2 and 4.
Great numbers.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Again, best of luck.
My thought process was 2 is a number I've always liked.
And there's 2 of them in 4.
Oh my God.
What?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And then if you said 6-8, we know who we appreciate.
Oh God.
I see.
It's a great time signature.
You can
signature.
Always call a mulligan and get a next one.
Here's the thing. I don't know if you remember this, but I have really weirdly bad recall about some shows. And so I can go for it or I can go mulligan on my number 4.
Do you want me to pick you another one?
Yeah.
So okay. while she's picking you another one
on the second thing.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
Yeah.
So while she's picking that out, Nick, okay. you said you had something to potential that you're doing this fall, this winter.
Oh yeah. So that dude, Van Hughes, that I mentioned twice earlier, for a reason. So Van and I, had spent the last 3 years writing a show called Space Dogs. That is about the dogs that went into space really in the 50s and 60s in Russia. And it's a really insane story that we are telling, just the two of us. It's just like kind of like a Wayne's World Lonely Island TED talk about this like insane true thing that happened in history. And we're doing that off Broadway at MCC Theater.
Cool.
And we open in January. So come see us. That'd be fun.
Amazing. Yeah. Are you the dogs?
So good.
I am the dog. I play Laika, the dog that went into space.
Oh, yeah.
Laika.
Fan plays the chief designer who sent the dog into space. And it's like, yeah.
There's an ongoing bit about that in For All Mankind on Apple Plus, if you watch it.
There sure is. I've watched that little thing. I mean, it's like a too sad of a story, to be frank, like the truth of what happened. But I think what we're trying to do is like give you like the stoner version. And like, it's a big rock and musical and we're playing everything and playing a bunch of parts. And it's like, I mean, it's just odd, you know, speaking of what Ethan was saying, about like the nature versus technology, like metaphor that we're playing with in, Edge of the World, there is very much one here in that, like this story that is like very much past and, is obviously resonant in an insane way now because of the way space is like factored into our culture, like Jeff Bezos and these billionaire idiots going to space instead of dealing with the economy. Just like that stuff is sort of all in there, but we're not talking about it. It's been a fun kind of, you know, shade to tell the story through. So that'll be cool.
Well, Ethan, have we bought you enough time?
Oh yeah. But I'm still going to do the thing where I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So, what is this? Okay. So something like, like I trade away my voice and now I'm walking on land and I'm trying to find the perfect husband.
Okay. It's the Little Mermaid and Hades sound Wait For Me.
Yes.
Yes.
Woo. Oh. Wonderful job.
That was really good.
Really good.
Thank you.
But Kevin, would you like to go next?
Yes, please.
Two numbers between 1 and 10.
Okay, and while she sends me that, Ethan, don't you have a show as well that you have coming up in the fall?
Oh, yeah.
But Kevin, you know, first, what numbers do you want?
6 and 8, of course.
Wait.
In the fall, yeah. So in November, Assassins is coming back to Classic Stage. And by coming back, I mean we're going to go into rehearsal again because it was supposed to happen before the pandemic. And... we had 2 weeks of rehearsal and then we shut down. And I guess officially they haven't announced the cast yet, so I'm not officially doing it, I guess. But it is happening, and I'm incredibly excited about it. It's the Sondheim musical Assassins. Yeah. I guess.
I hope you get it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It is like a pretty cool experience because it's a John Doyle production, so I get to play.
Oh my God, so many chairs.
There's four
instruments.
I'm sure there's going to be so many chairs. Yeah. Chairs and instruments.
Kimberly, can I have a different number than 8?
Yeah.
Can I have 1? I just don't know what that show is. I mean, I know what it is, but I don't know it.
Because you have described it as the word, but not the show.
I'm definitely 100% good.
Probably. Is that better, Kevin?
Did I try to describe it without knowing the plot?
Yeah, 100%.
It's right, more fun.
Do that. Okay. Okay.
Because at least I know what it is and can help with clues.
Good point.
Okay. Okay. It's okay. I don't know the plot, but I guess I'll say that it's about this guy who cries all the time because he is sad and people make fun of him. They call him this because...
So it's Cry Baby, but I don't know what the song is.
Baby. Yeah, yeah. No way. That is the plot. I'm making it up because I don't know the plot because I am making it up. This is a song from a great new show that everybody should see.
Is it 6?
It is.
Yes. And I will have you know, I made these lists accidentally, and 6 was number 6 on the list by accident.
Well, that's amazing.
Come on.
So, there you go.
Yeah.
That was my terrible rendition of No Way from 6 to Cry Baby, which is about...
A really accurate plot of Cry Baby.
Yeah. Just cries and cries. The whole show just cries.
What a whiner. What a whiner of a musical.
Tear.
Johnny Depp was in the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful film. Highly recommend.
And amazing tap sequence on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right? Jen Colella did it? That's all I know.
No, that's a different show.
That's High Fidelity.
That's From Away.
Urban Cowboy, I think.
Oh, right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. We just named
Mike. Interesting. Those are very different, but cool. All right, Nick, it is your turn. 2 numbers between 1 and 10.
5 and 9.
5 and 9.
Which is my exact height.
Nice.
And if you flip those, that's what a way to make a living.
It is. Okay.
Differently.
Okay.
Familiar or no? Okay.
Yep. Yep. So the first one is the plot and the second one is the tune.
You can choose.
Oh.
However you find it easiest in your own mind.
Okay. Okay. This guy's got to find the real. He goes out into the world of Germany. It's a big deal. His mom's mad. Dad's not there. He sings to the audience as an older guy.
Okay, it's Passing Strange.
And then he comes home and he starts to cry.
Hi, baby.
Fine Keys, Rebecca Naomi Jones, Deirdre D'Souza, and Daniel Breaker. Stu and Heidi wrote a show that was a real rum shaker. Passing Strange. You are Passing Strange.
Company?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Oh.
Stewie, baby.
Oh, that would have been good. That would have been good.
That was great. You know what, Nick? That was like, I could hear the actual orchestration in my head, and I just couldn't name it. I think you were on.
That was so good.
In my head, I was watching the documentary of the cast recording of Company, like just based on how you were singing it.
Just like tentative and straight.
why don't you go get some sleep and come back in the morning?
No, I'll do it right now. I'll do it now. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Thanks, Kevin.
Kimberly,
thank you.
Kimberly, do you want to go?
Yeah, give me two numbers.
Snake eyes.
One and one?
One. So I did one. So do 10 and one.
Cool. Interesting. Which plot do I choose? Which song do I choose?
What a wrench you've thrown into these rules.
I know. It's very exciting for me because I do less work, but for everyone else, more work. So how I like to play games. Cool. So it goes in an elephant, there is a girl and there's a guy in Paris, in Montmartre specifically.
So Moulin Rouge,
In the Heights.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. That was great.
Thank you. I haven't seen Moulin Rouge, so is there an elephant in the musical?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
There's a lot.
Dude, that's been plot points.
Woo! Season two.
Same games, different rules.
Yes. So we're gonna thank you so much for joining us. We're gonna wrap this up a little bit. Don't forget, remind us again where we can find Edge of the World.
On the Edge of the World.
Mm-hmm. You can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to your music. You can find it also BroadwayRecords.com if you want to purchase it, which would be rad.
Fantastic. Cool. And then go and see Space Dogs. Go and see Assassins. You may or may not see them in those shows, but support the theater. Make sure you buy your tickets to the Excursion Alaska show in
cruise.
The future
excursion
the cruise.
It comes with a cruise.
Yeah. I feel bad but can't help the laughter at the generation that comes after generation apathy. That is our quote for the episode. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us on things like Spotify. You can find us on things like Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
Thank you.
You can also follow us on things like Twitter, like Instagram at BroadWasted. Find us on Patreon. We have some really cool, fun stuff. We watched all of the Schmigadoon episodes and drank while we talked about those on Patreon. Did some fun stuff there. But guys, thank you so much for joining us. We're super happy to talk to you. Ethan, maybe one day we'll just have you on, or maybe not. This might be your thing.
Bring us
we'd love to meet you guys in person at some point. So maybe we can set up a live episode, brought to you by Moderna and Pfizer. But thank you so, so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We love the art that you're putting out there. We're so happy you stayed creative and that you have been putting it out there, are putting it out there, and will be putting it out there. It means the world to us, just as, you know, people who love to absorb art.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, thank you guys. And as we end every episode, we raise a glass and we say, cheers, season two. Wait, before we leave, for season two, do we bleep or do we not bleep? Is that a new thing about season two that we don't bleep with Carmen anymore?
Fuck.
Unless
shit,
it's like
fuck.
Really bad.
Oh,
now we
gosh.
Have to decide.
Okay.
Game, so Carmen's on every episode live to bleep for us.
Like forcing the hand. I love it.
Oh my God, yes.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.